Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. We sent out the word of God, and we wanted to invite people to come. If you are one of those persons, we're here because we want to let the Lord's language be known. God's language is love. God's language is peace. God's language is salvation. One of the key things I want to say to all tonight that are listening, we're going to do a little teaching, then we're going to have a prayer, and we're going to let somebody else speak to us and tell us what thus saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come tonight thanking you for everything that you have done for us. You have brought us to a point in life where we said thank you, Father. We ask you, Father, to have mercy upon us this night. We ask you to keep us this night. We ask you to hold us this night. And Father, thank you for this day in America. Thank you for allowing us to wake up. Thank you for allowing us to get up. Thank you, Father, because you are still God. And beside you, there is none other. Thank you for the viability of all of the activity of our limbs, seeing that we can do those things that you call us to do. As we call on you tonight, we say thank you. Father, across the world, the enemy is attacking innocent people. We declare and we decree Satan has released. And Father, over in America, we pray that you be glorified through us, Father, to the real believers. I pray this day that you'll raise us up, Father. Raise us up with an understanding that you are the only true and living God. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, we still honor and praise you and magnify your name. Somebody call on you this day, Father. Life was near. I don't know if they cross over or not, but I thank you, Father. I pray for the sinners. I pray for those who are calling on you, those who are believing on you, those who can rely on you, that you will keep in teaching us, oh Father, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our leader. He show us that. You have Jesus at the right hand of you. Hi, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for everything you've done. We love you. We praise you. We adore you. And we magnify you. Thank you, Holy Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time I had a conversation with the body of Christ, I spoke about judgment. And today, until such time, I will continue to say, to talk about the judgment. The judgment is something that is very, very critical to the body of Christ. Every believer should know that the believers when we were judged, it began at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I can say this tonight to everybody listening. If you decide to know that you know, trusting God is everything that we need. He's the only one and true God. You know, the one thing that I take notice on is I say, today we live in a WORD, a world that is still EVIL, as evil as evil can be. Some people don't want to discuss that because it's going to interfere with their life. But I'm here to tell you, when you don't come and honor the one who said all things are possible, through Jesus Christ. Many people still want to play church, talk church, but if you don't live it, it's not going to be where it's supposed to be. And you know one thing I thank the Lord for last night? I was reading a scripture that I had, and I was reading it because I believe that we got the royal word. That's what I call it, royal word. Some people may not. But the royal word. See, one thing that we find when we talked last night, we talked about 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And I take you to this scripture tonight and move forward. Mark 16:8 says, so then after the Lord began to speak unto them, that was after his resurrection, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of the Father. See, that's why, and everyone who began to teach, when we come and speak of the Lord, the believer's sins of judgment took place at Calvary. Why at Calvary? Because that's the place that it was talked about in the Old Testament. The one who hung on a tree was Jesus Christ. See, he's coming back to judge in our stead because he's without a spot or a blemish. See, when we come to Calvary, we have an understanding. I pray to God that you have an understanding. All the sins committed in the flesh, but when you come, we were atoned at Calvary. But now, no matter how vile, dirty, evil, horrible, never to remember against us. Hebrews 10:17, quote, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So get in line with those right now pressing the mark of the high call of the Lord God himself. Because God is sitting back. And we told you what that Jesus Christ is going to do the judging. That's the Bible that's pointing to us. We pointed out to us. One more time. Here we go. See, every day, I say this and I say it constantly. Believers, we need to judge ourselves. See, because self-judging is not so much a believer's moral condemnation of his own ways of habits and drinking and lying and cursing, but of himself for allowing such activity to follow him. See, I know, pastors, I'm going to speak to y'all. Y'all might get upset with me, but I love you. Being a pastor, former pastor, now pastor, when we stand before God's people in the pulpit, and as a pulpitarian, we should know the word of God. The pulpitarian is wherever you stand with the word of God and announcing. And I say this to even everybody that's listening, these words. When we judge ourselves, we can do the worst of the Holy Father and improve ourselves on our moral and spiritual understanding. See, our conduct. See, everybody's going to be looking at you and say, is that a preacher? He going to the hotel? Yep. Is that a man who's stealing the money? Yeah. I mean, I was listening to the news about this young man who was having such affiliation with this young lady. She died. She killed herself. She couldn't have it. And the judge gave the man 30 days. Well, everybody was upset. The man wronged. And you know what they did? Well, back up in the Old Testament when they jumped up and raped the daughter of one of the children of Israel, the sons, they all went and they found him. They set up nice and beautiful. And they went and they killed that man because they knew. See, some people back in the day, men had to have circumcision to become a Jew. But see, Paul says it's neither circumcised or uncircumcised, it's the heart. So what God wants us to do is us to circumcise the foolishness, the sin of our heart, so that we can be rambunctious and live with God and do what God would have us to do. And I will say this tonight. When you look at 1 Corinthians, because self-judgment avoids chastisement. See, if we do not judge ourselves, the Lord judges. And the result is chastisement, but not condemnation. God will not condemn those who believe in him, but there is a principle that must be followed. So what God does through Jesus Christ, he allows our Lord to chastise us. In other words, it's like a threshing. I would say always the word, it would be a peddler, the rear end. It would be a thrashing. Because God's not going to let no son go unpunished. His only begotten son set the standard. And we who believe us must set the standard. If we're going to lead by the Christ, it behooves us to take notice that God is still who he says he is. He's the only true God that's still justifiable for what he does. And you know, one of the things I thank God and take notice of, here's what happened. 1 Corinthians 11:31-32, so far we judge ourselves, we should not judge. But when we are judged, we are chastised of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See, that's so good that we know that when you do wrong, you son of God, no, touch not and taste not. And some people still want to do it. Father, we stop and pray for those who are guilty of that, to forgive us all and bring us to the point of Jesus Christ being our Lord. Let your blood continue to cleanse us, Father, in our heart, in our statement, our circumstance, that we may continue to bow before you and acknowledge you are the only true God. Amen. And you know, something else I'll say. See, every individual has that and should get that understanding. Because it not only applies to me, it applies to everybody and to the body of Christ as a whole. Judgment will come from God if we fail to obey his word. For his word is his law, as well as his will for our lives. You see, judgment will come if we fail to confess our sins that we have committed after coming to Jesus. Oh, well, now let's open the door. It's up on the door. We got the door's cracked, but here it is. Here it is. Here's the solution. Look if I can read this. Judgment will come if we fail to confess our sins that were committed after coming to Christ. That's what you get into trouble. Because you're going to come to the Bema Street, Bema seat. That's the judgment seat. And he's going to ask me and you, what, while you was in the body, when you confessed me, what were you doing? He wants to know, what were you doing? You didn't say, well, Father, I was doing this, I was doing that. But God said, well, I want you to tell me, well, let's see, so and so. The book says, you were here. Yes, Lord, I did it. You confess, no, Lord. So we got to get that right. You got to get it right. See, my mother always said, when a man wants to go to bed, he needs to bathe his body that night. There was a lady position to teach the son. And the father would say, if a boy don't want to work, he don't eat. See, we have to make sure that we take an attitude of righteousness before our true and living God. God loves us. With all this technological advance that we have, America needs to be more in tune to us. Because God has been putting us, all of us. We're the fivefold ministry. It's a gift that God has given. And there are others who have gifts, but those gifts are according to the body, to work in the body. We all come into confinement, and we don't condemn each other. We should love each other. We should tell each other what God. See, most of the preachers in Houston, Texas, don't speak to each other because they're of a different denomination. They'll see someone and say, you're like a hog. They won't say, how you doing, brother? Because they from Carl, Church of God in Christ, because they're Baptist, because they're Lutheran, because they're Catholic. But somehow, somewhere in a football game, everybody of different denominations come together. And they push for God. They push for the team he wants to see win. Well, our team wants to win. It's called the Jesus crowd. If we were to call for that in there, out there in the Lions Center here in Houston, can you imagine what would happen? People would think we lost our mind. I'm being honest with you. Oh, man, did you hear? They lost their mind out there. They out there preaching Jesus, got the big Bible, holding the laying hands on people, setting them free. That's what God wants us to do. You know, two lessons came to my house today, and I was challenging them. I was telling them that he was spirit. So did. Point-to-point contact must be made. Can't be afraid, because if you don't tell the truth, God wants to know why you didn't tell it. Let me move on. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God is so generous, he makes a provision for us. In 1 John 1:19. See, when we confess our sin, have you stopped to just say, I've sinned, Lord, forgive me? Have you taken the time out to acknowledge that you ask God to forgive you? See, as a Christian, all a Christian has to do is, in order to forgive forgiveness, is to confess his sin, of their sins, after truly repenting. You know you've done wrong. Can't you trust God? Yes. the True Believer self-judgment, get us to understand. See, when we read 1 Corinthians 11:31-32, concerning the Lord's table, here's what happened to us, if I might say in this context. One coming to the Lord's table, communion, some people want to be on, but they don't want to have communion. When we commune with God in what God does as a believer, the Lord suffered. There's a necessity of self-judgment. There's a timeline that we should have, that we should elevate ourselves. Not to lift ourselves above someone, but to evaluate our personal sins. See, and I'm coming to understand and to learn, the more that I judge myself, God can use me. Because this is in a war that will end one day. And while we're on the earth realm, I will say this, take time and make a confession. See, 1 Corinthians tells us once again, I will tell it to you, for we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, if I say this, see, a thief is going to say, well, I didn't steal that. Oh, yes, you did. You stole that. I didn't. And the camera looking at you, putting it in your pocket, and then what you doing? See, the man, he going to say, no, I ain't going to judge myself. But we read earlier in John, 1 John 1:19, if we confess, when I confess of my sin, Jesus is faithful to forgive us of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So when I stand before the Father, he said, this is my well-beloved son. Yeah. Justice from Christ is not condemnation. Condemnation is when you condemn us. You've been, you know what I mean? The real meaning of condemnation is like a house that they have put the wrong to before, where 8x4 should go, and they put a red tag up on it and say, the house is condemned, and he can no longer be a part of that. See, there is a whole lot of things that we, me, I, you, we need to get busier. Just being on the radio is not going to get it. The churches, we should start everybody. See, I will say this, sir. If everybody will look at themselves, let me tell you, I'll give you 1, 2, 3 things to do that will help, it'll help me. See, you write this down, the believer, self-judgment. Write it down so you notify yourself every day. A time, any time, place, any place. See, and the results is that you judge yourself. You don't allow God's precious holy hand to lay upon you because he will chastise it. Well, chastisement comes from the fact that God's son says, well, sometimes we have to enroll into what we have is called truth. When we enroll into truth, we come to an understanding. Paul says this to the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:30-32, he says this, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. Wow. This world is slowly getting ready to come to an end. Every time you pick up the paper, every time you turn the radio on, every time you turn the TV on, every time they're in the mock, the world is in a confusion. See, the enemy, Satan, demons, are there stirring the pot. Why are they stirring the pot? They're stirring the pot because they know they're going to hell and they want you to come with them to hell. And we're trying to say to you constantly, as a man said, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. The road is washed out. Don't go that way. And every believer should be out there telling the people, look, this is the way Jesus says you should go. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. We got to say it more. We got to say it more. See, because if you're a coward, please don't travel with me. Because I'm not going to travel with you. Because I have found out cowards get you in trouble. You're going to go out there in the land and do what God say when they send us 2x2. And I'm supposed to watch your back and you're supposed to watch my back. And all of a sudden I go to sleep while you out there fighting. And all of a sudden I get bam. And then you get bam. Well, we both out of action. God loves us. God wants us. See, I say this in my closing because I'm going to go into prayer because America needs prayer. I need prayer. People need prayer. See, if I can ever say anything to you tonight is that as a Christian, if you can see that you need to judge yourself as a believer and a non-believer. See, the non-believer will be judged at the judgment. But I'm saying to you who are walking by the blood stripe of Jesus Christ, I want you to get understanding that you won't be judged after Bema Street because that's already been proven and put down. He'll know. The Apostle Paul writes it very candid to us. Very candid. He tells the Corinthians. He tells the Romans. He tells the Galatians. He tells them all the same thing. And you know what I love in his writing? What he says, he said, I, Paul, an apostle. Let's go to one I'm right with. Let's go to one. I like to be able to prove my point to the audience so that when they stand before God, nobody can say, he didn't tell it, he didn't tell it like he was. Well, if you go to the first book of Acts, Romans, you find it. Romans chapter 1. Here's what Paul said. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. If you go to the next one, you're going to see the next one. And going down, you're going to see the next one. Going down, you're going to see the next one. And in Galatians, you're going to see the same words of the Apostle Paul. And I say to me particularly, as a believer, I must have the same. I've been called by God to do the work of an apostle, to do the work as a pastor, to do the work of an evangelist. Here's what we do. We want to tell the world Jesus is soon to return. Listen what he said in Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him up from the dead, and the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Listen what he says. Grace be unto you, peace from God and the Father from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Father, thank you for the words you gave to me tonight to implore and implore. And now I call you into the prayer your presence in me will spew out. And at times, Father, we have in this world, we call upon you and we thank you for everything you have done. Father, tonight is the night that I say, I love you, I praise you, and I thank you for everything, Father. For the healing of the body, for the healing of the mind, for the healing of the soul, for the healing of myself, for the healing of a friend, from the healing of fellowship. Somewhere, Lord, somebody call on your name tonight. Somebody needs healing. Somebody needs it right now. And Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and your graciousness toward us. And how you brought us to a place, Father, that we can call upon your holy name. Tonight, Father, that we just say we love you, we thank you. And then, Father, somewhere because some man is not treating his wife right, he's not treating his children right, let us get a word to him soon as possible to preach it, to put it over the airway, to put it in the newspaper. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church, in that he gave himself for it. And let the wives be submissive, Father, according to the word. It said, wives, obey. And Father, I ask you today, have mercy upon our children, that we not bring them into condemnation or chastise them, but let them be children of understanding. And if we live in this world, every voice that we have in this hour is because you have had mercy upon us. It's because you have shown your mercy. And then, Father, as I call upon you tonight, I want to thank you, Father, behind the prison door. Somebody can come out from behind the prison. By faith, we is through Apostle Paul, Peter, and the man was in there praying. And God, you were there with the Apostle Paul. And him, they were in the prayer, and Father, one song, one prayer to prayer. And the angel of the Lord showed up for them, Father, and the door opened. They was out. And for that, we said thank you. And when Peter was there, because he was in prison, and Father, we take the same attitude, because that's a perfect example. When Peter was released, the young lady just fell, so she couldn't believe it. She heard the voice, and they saw it, not Peter, but heading to be dead, Father. And we know that in this life we live in, we're going to be put in the jail. Jail's a word. Jail's a condemnation. Jail that people don't like us. They're going to put a lockdown on us. But we love you, Father, and we forgive them. And I ask you tonight to keep us sharp in your word. Keep us to know. When I say sharp, Father, our ears are hearing your word. The more we hear you call us, the more we rise up, so that you can be glorified in us, Father. And I want to thank you for all of the prayer line women that are listening, who are praying and believing. I thank you, Father, that you will bring it to pass. And, Father, we got the time. We want the time we have to call them. Come out of this darkness. Come on out. Come closer. And then, Father, because you've had me, hallelujah, 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 because no love is like your love. I thank you for everything tonight, Father. Without you, there's nothing I can do. But because you know that, you know, God, I know that you know you love us, Father. You love us, Father. And let us who are doing the word, Father, the work that I'm believing in doing, raising up, Father, hands. The man who's coming, Father, in his body needs a healer. Some man's eyes need healing. Give us the anointing. Give us the anointing that we can lay hands on those who are sick. They shall recover, Father. Your word says, and I'm asking you, Father, in these last days, that while we stand, Father, let no ministry beat upon each other. Let us understand, because all have called that we come to the common entity, Father. And I want to thank you, Father. Because when we get there, Father, with crowns on, those that we have received, we throw them at your feet. makes us no different because of what we have done. And Father, I pray and thank you for everything. I pray for my prayer warrior. I pray for those who love the Lord. I pray for those that are trying to find their way into the truth of understanding. It's you, Father. It's you. Some women have, men have been in prayer all day long across this universe, Father. Father, and we can just see ourselves seeing you when we do what you want done. When we see a young man life change, Father, it blesses us. He comes and says, you know, I met the Lord, I went to church, to Sunday school, as you said, do it, and I got a question I want to ask you. You got a Bible you can give me? Yes, I can. That's what I want to do. That's what God wants to do. He wants us to give them the word, the living word, the living word. Let it transform from you to them. So it is with the young ladies, Father. I pray this day, this hour, this time, this very moment. I pray for myself. I pray that I've confessed my sin constantly, Father, that you will not condemn me when I stand before you. I love you for everything you have done for me in, through, and by me. Hide me, Father. Every sin that I can bring up this day, that the blood of Jesus, thoughts, actions, temptations, misunderstanding, but I refuse because I want to tell your truth. And I know to tell the truth, Father. Father, may I ask you one thing, Father? The love that you have for me and the walk I want to walk, circumspective to this world, that you will continue to be God. Will you still continue to be God? I thank you, Holy Father. Jesus, continue to be Jesus. Continue to send our words to the Father, that the Father will hold back and let us bring as many as we can out of the utter darkness. Paul told us, we pass by, we reach and grab somebody out of hell's door that they may come to you, Father. I thank you this day. Thank you. And I ask you to look upon the president's office, the senator's office, the U.S. congressman's office, the governor, the mayor. Call them to see, Father, judgment will start. Let them serve those offices, no, Father. No matter what they do, how they say it, judgment comes. Pray, O God. Pray, O God. In the name of Jesus, that they're here. And not so much look at how much money they got, but what they can do to help the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for this time you have allowed me to be on the radio station and some believing, Father. For my prayers are ever before you. In the name of Jesus, I submit. Rising early to never fall down anymore. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Ooh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Anybody got a word they want to say while they're on the radio? If not, listen. I will go back and do what God showed me to do because I have been promising, and I'm doing it, to teach a while, pray a while, teach a while, pray a while, because somebody is crying out, have mercy upon them, Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy upon them, Lord. You know, have mercy. And all I can say tonight to us is that You know, God has been a blessing to us. And I will say this, and looking at what the concerning the believer and the judgment, one other thing I like to put in, it says this, for they verily for a short day chasing us after their own pleasure. It's talking about this earthly father. But for our profit, that we might be partakers of his wholeness. See, God is not going to be angry. But he gives us, when the writer sees an argument between, well, that's a theological question. I'll say it like this here. Your father gave you a good chastisement. We call it a whipping. Some call it a beating. See, I know when I come up with it was to do wrong. Boy, you catch it. I mean, you would catch it. And now we don't want to even hit our children. Here's why. You know why we don't want to hit our children? Because we got a law that we can't touch them. But when they get in trouble, guess who they call? You? No, leave them there. Don't be mean, honey. Yes. They don't want to obey you while they're at home. Leave them in there. Leave them. Well, see, if God can't chastise you, he's not coming to heaven. He's not doing it. And all I can tell you is what he said. See, now, no chastisement for this present seemeth to be joyous, but grieving is nevertheless. After it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Oh, if I'm doing wrong, Father, through Jesus, yep, bring that chastisement upon me. Do it, Lord. Why? Well, I want to be able to say that it, for the moment, it's, you know, it don't seem to be joyous. But grievous, nevertheless, it's going to yield something. Why? Because God, praise the living God, God does not chase. Now listen to this. God does not chase. Listen to this. God does not chase non-Christian. He chastens only his children in order to bring them back. Sin and fellowship with him. Excuse me. So that he cannot condemn them but the world. See, a lot of people must understand what the condemnation when the chastisement is all about. See, God is doing that because he loves us. He don't go to the world. See, people get murdered. That's not God. Stop lying on God. They robbed the bank. That's not God. God don't chastise only his children. Only his children. You get all of that. The Bible points it out. See, let me go and open up a letter right quick before we got about 16 minutes left, 15 minutes left. Let me go up and open up a letter to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was arguably, it was decadent. It was a church. And see, in Christendom, people were saved. But there was a heretic, sinful pleasure and vulgar. And they're partaking of the Lord's Supper. I wrote this down. It says, they came with no conscience of their own sins. And you mean you want to come to the Lord's table without repenting? They want to do what they did? So they were exercised themselves of any wrongdoing. They were feasting, and their hearts were vile toward God, the living God. When I say vile, it was evil, evil. There's so much evil. And you know, you got some people right today that go to church, and now, and the question I've been asking myself, pause, that I ask myself, they don't want to have baptism no more at the church. They don't want to have the Lord's table. What in the world is this world coming through? I'm telling you what it's coming through. Somebody, me, start having the Lord's Supper and start having the Lord's Supper, and everything will be different. What we have to come to an understanding is that we need to just bring it close in. The Lord's table is a table, is a table that God honors. A lot of us get to the table and we get to, I'm on the national air. And you know what? They come to church, raise hell at home, jump on somebody. And I will say this to you, with love and kindness. We need to come forward and let the people know. See, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to walk with anybody. And I don't know nobody to walk with me, not walking like Jesus said we are, because it's too critical. It is too critical to lose your soul behind a bunch of foolishness. The hour's too short. Too short. Time to leave. Paul writes this, and he reveals this. He said, for we will judge. Oh, here we go again. If we judge ourselves. See, I had to learn years ago, when you know that you've sinned, you need to judge your own self. Lord, I did do this. Lord, I did do this. And God knows. He's there to hear you. He brings you in, but if you don't confess it, chastisement comes. But let a man examine himself. I can't judge you. You judge your own self. Because the Bible says, if you go back and get the Luke chapter 22, verses 29 and 30, the latter part, Jesus said he's going to give us a kingdom just as the Father gave him the kingdom. That we might sit on there, and he's going to sit at his table. That we might judge. We're going to be the ones and judge. And if you don't know the word of God, how you going to judge somebody? How you going to judge? How you going to do what God says? See, God does not condemn his children. He loves us. He loves me. But like every loving father and mother, our Heavenly Father chastises us. When we respond to God, somebody says, you know, I don't know why God let me go through that. No, go back and check it. I had to go back and do a check. See, I say that I should be a 12 step that you should have. Because like they say, some people, for the stay of 12 steps of the 10 or 12 steps, whatever it is, that they have for the alcoholic. The power of the higher power. That's not of God. Even in our Senate and our elected seats, they want to know the right man is going to say the right prayer. They ain't going to say Jesus, because they said, oh, you're going to offend them Muslims. You're going to offend. So what? Church needs to be headed home. No, it doesn't. 24/7. When they get sick, who do they call? Can the believers pray for me? When they want a healing hand, they want to call the prophet or prophetess. When they want to see a miracle, and the time has come for the non-believers to get on the believer side. There's room on the ship. There's room. There is room for us to boot. We want to see it done. God's going to do it. But I will say to you once again, the believer's self-judgment has nothing to do with his condemnation. Nothing. See that church that Paul spoke of that was sexual immoralities. God had to. Paul says, look, not only were they thought that what they were doing, they were lesbian, they were homo, they were going with another man's wife going with another man. It was just vile. It was rotten. It's like an egg that's been broken and sit up and it's, you open it up and ooh, the smell. The same thing, but in a spiritual understanding, because we let the vileness in us go and it expands nostrils. And God refused to listen. Why? But he has mercy through Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important that the Christian, when God calls us to do something, it's called perfecting holiness and the fear of God, that we would be able to say yes to God and no to the devil. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. See, when you can say yes to the Lord, the devil is already upset at you. It's a spiritual victory. It's not so profound, but it's a choice that I must make and my decision that I want to conform to the image of Christ. See, I want to be able to have communion with him in the heaviness. I want to be able to. I want to be able to stand up and declare the God I glorify, the God I call upon, the God I love. I want to be able to stand up and say it. Hallelujah. Because the choice was yes. See, the path that every Christian should walk is saying no to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. And you know what? Sometimes men get caught out of socket. Yeah, I can help them. Many times. Repent. Also women. Oh, yeah. That's what it says. But I want to say this to you. 1 John 2:16 says, God has a greater purpose. A purpose. When we realize our purpose, we are to perfect our lifestyle before God, to love our friends, don't get all upset, keep ourselves under the umbrella of God, as it said in the book of Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Shall abide. When you dwell in God's protection, when you dwell in God's obedience, you dwell in obedience. Not so much what man thinks, but what God says. See, when we have a discernment spirit, thank God he's raising me up with a better understanding. When you start discerning something, you know when something is wrong. And I will say this. When you know that you know, here's what I want you to know. When Peter, the man that went close to the Lord, he writes and say to the brethren, be sober, be valiant, because your adversary and the devil as a roaring lion walketh among seeking whom he may devour. So you can't tell a falsification on somebody else because you've been warned. The devil is nothing but a roaring lion. And I always say this to people. They tell you, well, make sense, but later on they come and tell me, see, the devil doesn't have any, as a roaring lion, he doesn't have any teeth. Doesn't have any claws. Because God, he detoothed him and he defanged him. All he can do is roar. All he can do is just y'all just yawning. Can't bite you. Dumb you. Like a man, I used to say, I knew when I got to know a man, I saw a man take an apple with his gum and start getting into that apple. And I thought, I said, well, devil can't end up with the flesh, but at least you can fight him out by the word of prayer, the word of subjection. Let me say you this, that I want to take this and say this. As we come to a close of this time of spending time with you first in prayer and teaching, we should ask ourselves daily, what have I done today that makes my life a credit to Christ and a genuine threat to the devil? Whoops. You want to take my nose down? Okay, here we go. What have I done today that makes my life a credit to Christ and a genuine threat to the devil? Take notice. Have I wounded any soul today? So, Lord, forgive me. Have I sinned against my God, my body, my mate, my family, my church, my friends, my co-workers? Father, through Jesus Christ, forgive me. This is self-judgment. Remember this here. For if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. It's not an option for you. It's a commandment that God has said. And I will say to many of you, to understand what God has to do. And we can ask ourselves. And if you want to me to send you what I just wrote down, the latter part of the teaching, I will do it for you. Email me at willieJHunter@yahoo.com, willieJHunter@yahoo.com, and I will send it to you. And remember these words. Today, God loves us more than we ever could believe. God still loves us. So until tomorrow, if I don't see you, hear you, remember this. The Lord has either called us dead in Christ to arise. We who are alive will be alive. So I want to talk to you the next time I come on the air with you. I want you to pray for me and I pray for you. God bless you. Until then, shalom, shalom, shalom. Peace of God. Praise the living God. Amen.